back, WNST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively no longer in the studio. We're one of my favorite places, one of my favorite restaurants. We're at the corner of Eggs, Meller, the Armory, and Frederick Row. We're in the 21228. We're back in Catonsville. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We are giving away some scratch-offs. Maybe Lou's going to get lucky. Maybe Howard's going to get lucky. They're lucky, though, because we're at the Beaumont here in Catonsville.
We
got burgers coming. We got crab cakes coming. It's a Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all presented by our friends, of course, at the Maryland Restaurant Association, or excuse me, Restaurant Association of Maryland, I should say, as well as Goodwill and Window Nation. I have all these fun props to carry around. I want to put the Window Nation hat on next segment. My hair looks pretty good today. This thing has turned into something strange, the Crab Cake Tour, because I wanted to do it on Fridays, and Evan's like, we got to do it on Thursday over at the Beaumont. I said, no problem, and I'm wearing my State Fair shirt, because State Fair is right over there, and El Guapo's right down there, and I put the thing together, and nobody could do the show today. You were like on the corner. The only one that stood up was Lou Weinkamp. So he's next door, by the way, and he brought shrimp for my cat from Franco's and all sorts of goodies in the bag, but I called a bunch of friends, and now all of a sudden, everybody's texting me back, and they're like, I'm on my way over. And I said to my wife when I began the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, I was going to have friends who don't even know each other gather. Leonard Raskin last week at Cooper's North went and meeting another friend to do business, money business. Howard, you come in. Tell everybody, Howard, I've known you from our childhood. This is my original. Right. Did you ever go to Skipjack's game, Lou?
Oh, absolutely. Loved it.
Go ahead, Howard.
I was sitting at a skipjack game with my father, and this guy sat down next to us and started talking, didn't stop.
With a notebook.
And he did not stop talking, and that guy was Nestor, and the rest is history.
Well, I wanted you to read my game story. I figured the best way to market my game story for people to read it would be to go down and actually mingle with the fans. There were only 800 people at Skipjack games.
Yeah.
How could I not know all of them, or at least most of them, right?
Yeah. You did, and you pretty much got to know all of them.
Now, Lou is in the law business and the Italian food business, but you were a customer next to you. You love what Catonsville's become, right?
I mean, absolutely. We've got a lot of really good restaurants now. It's really developed over the last 10, 15 years. Incredible new restaurants, and it's just really it's a hot spot for the area.
Swear to God, he's got a law firm around the corner doing family law. Lou Weinkamp, you can look him up on the internet or come find him in Catonsville. Probably find him behind the bar one of these places here or upstairs in the office doing what he's doing, pushing papers. And you love this restaurant, eating at it, and you decided, well, yeah, I don't want it to close, right? Literally.
That's right. Yeah, my friend owned it, and I worked with him on it, and it just was too much, and it is too much for anybody. It is too much for anybody. He was smart to get
Howard's
out.
Howard's been in different businesses than the business he's in now.
So Howard knows, well, you know, sometimes you get in these things, and it just worked out for our family to get it, and it's been really a wonderful thing to do. It's got challenges, but it's been a great thing to do.
It's great when the environment. Howard, do you come to Catonsville often?
We do. We come here.
State Fair, of course.
Here, State Fair. El Guapo, is that the name of the Mexican place? Yep. So we frequent Catonsville. We like it. It's easy to get to. You hop right off the Beltway. You're here in 2 minutes.
Well, I mean, Mueller's always talking about it being sort of like, and look, no offense to Dundalk. I love Dundalk. I go to the Heritage Fair. Dundalk, if it could grow up and come back to life in a way that maybe I remembered as a kid, there would be a veterinarian store here and a Jennings over there and a church over here and an open place here and a barbecue. This has become something that you've always been here. You're wearing your Catonsville lacrosse. It's off season.
I know. I'm still wearing it.
Still wearing it.
Still wearing it, baby.
But for you to say you're invested in it, you're a part of this. When I do this neighborhood tour and I do a crab cake tour, the Beaumont's a great example of a neighbor to you now. You share the same walls, right? You know each other through State Fair. We've had crab cakes together, you, me, Evan, and all that stuff. But then you see, Evan says, well, I'm going to open a little steakhouse on the corner. It's going to be small. It's going to be boutique.
Right.
We're going to have whiskey. It's going to have a beautiful bar and all that. You remember walking through this was boarded up not too long ago, right? Literally.
It's been a number of things. When I grew up, it was called Pinocchio's, and it was a nice sandwich shop. And then it went through a couple different, you know, incarnations of things. And the Beaumont's been terrific. They've been great neighbors to Franco's. All the staffs get together and you know, share things. And I was just talking to Brad back there a little while ago. So we all, you know, share each ideas. So it's really a nice, you know, even though you think you're competitors, you're really not. You're really trying to get the best of everything so you have a bunch of nice places so people can choose and say, you know, I feel like a steak tonight. I'm going to Beaumont. I feel like, you know, pasta. I'm going to go to Franco's. And it's not really competing. It's just having options for people.
We'll sort of bring Howard into it, because Howard, you bought a place in Canton many, many moons ago, to Canton Cabana, Cabanarama. Yes. What was the name of the place when you first got it?
It was...
You don't even remember now. It's terrible. You try to forget bad memories, right?
It was...
How long were you in the bar business? 5 years?
2 years. I got right out. 2 years. It was almost 2 years to the day.
Yeah.
It was too much work. Crazy hours, as Lou knows. Yeah. And, you know...
But the reason Canton worked, the reason you could even invest two blocks off the square, was the square did really well. And square I talk about Nacho Mamas, and I know the Looney's guys just sold sort of famously... I remember going into that neighborhood in the early 80s when it was challenged. It was a rough area, and then it became the area. And part of the reason it became the area is there was Amici's next to Nacho Mama's next to Looney's.
Right.
Like, all of that existed. The coffee shop comes in. Clotta was there. And they did compete, no doubt about it, on menu. Competition's good. You're trying to make the best pizza over there. He's trying to make the best steaks here, chicken fried lobster here, you know, up the street. It was hard getting parking at lunchtime on a Thursday here. Right.
There were many nights where we would talk to the people. We'd say, we've never seen you in here before, and how did you find us? Oh, we were up on the square, and there were lines at every bar, and we came over. So the more people that came to the area, the better it was for our business. And it's the same thing along this strip. The more people that come to Catonsville and discover a new restaurant, the better it is for Catonsville.
Why don't you bring your friends together and tell them some stories? And you're both sporty guys, so we'll get to all that. We'll get the plugs for Duck Doctor. And Howard's been my friend. Howard and I met in 1985. I was covering Skipjacks. By the way, the last time I was in the Beaumont, and this is for my soul, okay? We were sitting at this table in this spot with Gene Ubriaco and Noah.
Oh, right.
Noah sat there. Gene sat there. My wife sat here. I sat here. And we laughed, and we had Italian, and we crazy, and Canada and the U.S. and hockey and telling old stories. But, like, bringing this thing together and bring people together, you're running a business now. We're 30 years. He and I had a DJ business together. Chased some girls, did some late night bars.
Did you find any girls? You chased them. Did you find any?
Occasionally, they caught me. They caught me once or twice.
Right.
You know, we were doing a funky Cold Medina or playing some Tone Loc or playing some Coolio. R.I.P. to Coolio. Yeah. Hey, come on, dude. Fantastic Voyage 1-2-3 brought him out on the dance floor.
I know. Yep. It did.
Every time.
Yeah.
And this is back, dude, when we had to lug... toolboxes.
Oh.
We had equipment. My PV1502, it weighs 65 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard back with these arms on it. Yeah. And I was a younger man with my back. I loaded it in the back of my Jeep or loaded it in the back. He had Critics' Choice DJ, so we would do weddings, bar mitzvahs, parties. I mean, outdoor, indoor, on boats, outside, good weather, bad weather. But lugging all of this stuff. Nothing in my life, and I told you this last time we got together, Fadley's, nothing in my life is more stressful than having to DJ a wedding and knowing you are a flat tire, car accident, rainstorm, traffic, whatever, anything that could go wrong.
Right.
Between me getting to Michael's 8th Avenue down in Glenbury and DJing Trina and Dave's wedding, you know, on their day, mom, dad blown 50 grand, you know, like... Where's the DJ?
I know.
Oh, my God. I mean, there's no backup plan. There's no backup plan for a wire that breaks in the middle of a wedding.
How horrible were those boat jobs, though?
Oh, my God, dude.
I mean, you had to... You couldn't park next to the boats.
Oh,
so you had to park far away, drag your stuff.
Oh, my God.
Then go park, sweating profusely. You almost needed a hotel room to go shower.
I did a wedding at Johns Hopkins on the campus there in the most beautiful room... That was built by Johns Hopkins, right? I mean, it was like 1625, whatever, right? It had the spiral staircase, no elevator, no way to get to the third floor or fourth floor. And I'm thinking, and the kitchen was up for, so every hors d'oeuvre had to go up this, and you couldn't mess with the house because it's a historic landmark, right? It's like messing with Babe Ruth's house or something. Like, it's just narrow, and the floors are crooked, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Man, I'll never forget. And it was 92 degrees, you know, it was...
There was that place in Dundalk that had the spiral stairs that was like a catering hall.
I remember that.
Yeah, I don't even know the name of it.
Del Capri.
Yes,
Del Capri.
Right, I mean...
That's your DJ right now. That's as much as you got. As much as you
right,
got.
Exactly.
That's it. It's all in there. It's all in there.
It's crazy.
All in there.
It's unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if somebody would have told us that, we'd have been like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right.
We'll be driving around in flying cars.
iPod. Right, right, yep. What's an iPod?
Right,
you know.
Yeah.
But you know, as time goes on, I want you to talk about your business. Certainly, talk some lacrosse. Howard, Duck Doctors, what you do? You've sold dog food. You've had literally. I mean, mentioned Loyal Companion over here. My bud Brad owns that
right.
joint. But for you with. With what you do now, I needed him, man. I mean, I had a dusty old project, and you came in, and this is the time. My wife's been sneezing. I've been sneezing. You clean the air, and I think when we're talking about air, I talked to this Martin Knott, my buddy, about clean air and buildings and how right. buildings are not really built for clean air. That building over Johns Hopkins built in the 1700s probably needs its ducts cleaned.
Absolutely. I mean, as a society, we've become more conscious about clean air and the air we breathe since sort of the pandemic began. But duct cleaning has been around for years. People just ignored it. It was not a priority for them to spend money on. But if you have allergies, you have pets, you have construction, I mean, which kind of checks the box for most people.
Or if you have somebody in the house that's susceptible to any of that.
Correct.
You know, right.
Any sort of respiratory illness, it makes a difference. And it's become a big thing in businesses. We do
well,
a lot.
It's quality of work. If you sit in a workspace, any space, if you're hot, you're cold, you can't breathe, you know, you're sneezing.
Correct.
You're not getting, it's productivity.
And somebody sits at their desk and they look up and they see, you know, maybe a black spot near the vent in the ceiling, or they call
mold.
Us.
That's mold. You know that's mold.
We can't use that word.
Oh, you
can't? We have to say microbial growth because we don't actually test it to be sure it's mold and we don't want to get sued.
Oh, it's just microbial. Oh, okay.
Microbial
all right.
growth.
All right.
We'll go with that.
That doesn't sound as appetizing as the crab cake that's coming out of the Beaumont.
It does not.
No.
But so it's gone from, you know, people's homes to the workplace to businesses. And there's a large furniture store that reached out this week about getting their ducts clean because they have a system in their business that gives them a warning. They have sensors in their ducts, actually, that give them a warning when the ducts are dirty. I had never heard of that.
Well, when you came to my joint, cleaned it out. I mean, it hadn't been done in years and years and years. It was gross. I mean, you brought like a whole thing and you showed me and I'm like,
yes.
Dude, thanks for coming. You know what I mean? Whatever you charge me, it's worth it.
Right.
Because at that point, it's like, that needed to get done.
Yeah. I mean, we use a truck mounted system, which is pretty much 8 to 10 times more powerful than the portable vacuums that people use. And it makes a difference.
I need my carpets clean right now and I don't. There's a part of me that wants to go and just get the $89.
Right.
No, and I'm like, no. We went through the docks. Howard's going to beat me up. I'm going to get it professionally cleaned. Anybody's got ideas, let me know. Ness@BaltimorePositive.com. But I want to get it cleaned out because we're sensitive to this, and we have an animal, and my wife
Correct.
Has had leukemia twice,
right?
So it's a whole different level of concern for me that I know what it looks like 155 days in a hospital with your lungs. You don't want to mess
Absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely, no. And that's... You know, that's part of what we do is we try to make the air people breathe cleaner.
Nice. Tell people how to find you because I want to talk football with you guys.
All right. www.duckdoctordmv.com.
All right. Or just hit me, Howard Scherr.
Yeah.
Spell it.
Baltimore@duckdoctor.com.
There you go. Lou Weinkamp's here. Howard Scherr, my lifer buddy.
But
Lou's got
I do have a present for you. Can I give you the present first?
Can we do it during Lamar? I want to talk football. Okay,
it's Duck Doctor.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
You open it up.
Hold on. Should I shut my eyes? I feel
no,
like
it's not that exciting.
All right, well.
But it's related to duck cleaning.
It feels
so
like Christmas, but you just had a holiday. So, you know, we've got holidays of giving. Well, look at this. He wants me to drink out of the duck dock. See, this is shameless free plugging. It's almost
it
like
is.
You understand marketing. We've been friends for 35 years.
Right, how is that possible?
We've been long friends longer than that. We've been friends 37 years. That's
that
crazy, dude.
Right.
Well, Howard does ducks now and used to run bars, and we went to Cancun. I always threaten to tell him.
He
I'm going to tell the Cancun story in a minute. Lou, tell everybody what you do, because what you do is important. And I said to Howard, and I knew serendipity. We have Billy Yerman's here. Look at you. Fresh back from the Canadian North with Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. He said to me, I said, My pal Luke Weinkamp's going by. He's like, oh, what's he do? I said, well, he's a lawyer. And they're going, oh, lawyer. And he's like, no, it's family law. It's family law. He's like, does he do wills? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, somebody screwed up my will and I didn't get to the finish line. And I'm like, Same thing happened to me, and that's how I found Lou. So I want you to give a little love here, because you already brought my cat some shrimp, and my cat's going to be very happy about that.
You can eat the shrimp, too.
That's not all you do, though.
let me have that duck there.
No, you got duck.
I'm going to help Howard. I'm going to help Howard out here.
Friends.
I brought you a tape measure, Lou.
Okay. All right. Good.
I'm going to help Howard out with a little plug here.
Yeah, thanks, Lou. I appreciate that.
I'm covered. I'm going to put it right below my Sevo lacrosse so you can see everything right there.
No, come on, man. You
have
to.
Howard's a nice guy. I mean, he's... But I did have to ask a question. You said in 1985 you met him and he wouldn't shut up. But I think it's still going on.
Right, I was going to say, what is Jake?
Okay. I was going to ask you about that.
When you get your own radio station, you get to talk about it.
It's fine. I got you. So I'm going to keep us right here. Duck Doctor right here.
Okay.
We got
excellent.
It. And, so I do a wills and estates, and that's what I really put my focus in on doing that. And biggest thing is client service. And making sure that, you know, we get stuff done timely, explain things, take our time, we don't rush through it, and do the things, the little things that, you know, make a difference for everybody. But a lot of things in the, what you reminded with was duck cleaning is people always say, I got to have a will, but that's the last thing, or not the last thing, but it's pushed back.
Right.
Things happen. I got to get this done. Then a year goes by, I got to get this done.
We had all that time during a pandemic, right? And it's like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. You had your whole life to get a will done,
right?
literally.
Right. And COVID pandemic did get people to realize, not besides a will, but like have an advanced medical directive so that you have somebody there to make medical choices for you if you're not able to do that for yourself.
It's so important.
So,
very important.
We don't talk about it enough. And when I invite you down, I think, it's Lou. He's my buddy. And we've got some Franco's and great pizza. And he's next door. And I'm going to have the chicken fried lobster. And my wife wants me. She's going to order it when I leave at 4:30. Because she's been wanting to come here all week. And I'm like, I'm doing a show here on Thursday.
Right.
I mean, I'm not coming in for dinner Wednesday night. And she's like, well, you're bringing me home. So I have all that going on. But I knew I'd see you. And I'm like, this is something, it's almost a little like morbid. We don't talk about it. But people don't, you don't want to come see you the way I did. And I tell people that all the time. My mother died, fiasco, state, money, the people at the nursing home that sort of lied to me, quite frankly, about things. And I brought it to his desk. And this is all to get my son onto, you know, the deed. Which he did, by the way.
Okay,
Thanks to you. You helped him out immensely.
Good.
That's why I love you.
Yeah, and part of the thing you said earlier when you said, hey, coming down, a bunch of people passed or couldn't make it. And, you know, I always do try to support and be there. So coming down for you is something I do for my clients as well to make sure that I'm there, can make it, can do things, and that's a big...
I don't want you thinking you were last resort.
Well, that's okay. I'm used to that.
No, it wasn't like that.
I'm used to that.
But today's going to be really interesting because, like, I did call a bunch of people, and I called all of you early on as well, and I didn't know Billy was back down, and I'm like, it'll just work out. It'll just be a great crab cake. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And so for you guys, I haven't talked to you in a long time. I think last time we were together, me, you, my son, daughter-in-law, we were out here under the hood at Franco's. I had you on at Fadley's literally the day that Jalen Ferguson died.
Correct.
Remember?
Yes.
And the day that Goose died.
After the show.
You and when we did the show, Goose was very much, we thought, alive.
Correct.
And then the rumor started a little later. It was a morning show down at Fadley's.
Right.
We had a crab cake. So whenever day that was, in April or May, it was a while. Well, the event was in April and Goose was alive with the 30-30. So it's early May, Preakness time, I would say, right? So I haven't seen you talk to you guys. It's football season. I don't want to talk about the Bills because by the time people hear this, there'll be an outcome, right? I mean, so it is, and we can talk in the present tense, but man, the NFL, like even through the plague and all of this, and even through my own personal circumstance, which I hope you guys read about my personal circumstance, but there's just something about the league that Thursday night football tonight's a better night than Tuesday or Wednesday.
Correct. Correct.
Yep.
Although Wednesday night, there was preseason hockey on TV last night.
He's all about the puck, man.
Oh, okay.
But yes, the NFL, I mean, marketing geniuses. I mean, it's everything in this country.
It's really incredible and how much fun it can be. My wife loves it. I love it. We sit there. We don't gamble on it. I don't play fantasy.
Right.
I'm not even a real reporter anymore. But the interest and the passion and all of the years start to stack up when I see, like, somebody shared a Johnny Unitas in the Chargers you know, blue Thunderbolt the other day. Yeah. And I started thinking, man, that was 50 years ago. That's why they're sharing the picture. It's a 50-year-old picture. Right. There was a picture of Johnny U and Joe Namath on 33rd Street. You see that picture? Yep. You know, in this iconic Jets jersey after they had just, like, had a 49-34 AFL style shootout.
Might have been that 70
you know?
Sports
it
or whatever.
It was a 72, 1972
Yeah, but
shot.
It might have been that Twitter.
Yeah, the
70
that
sports.
Guy's great. He's yeah, funny. He but that sports brings us together, and you know lacrosse season's all year for you, right?
Well, yeah, I just you know I coach the high school when I take off, and let the dads and coach the off season program. So I'm laying low now. It's enough for me to coach in the 2 hours every day for 8 weeks is a lot of work.
How many kids are three sport these days? I mean, do you have?
There's not most. No, not many.
Your lacrosse players aren't kicking a soccer ball right now.
We had
now,
a couple.
Football.
Yeah, yeah, there's no. There's a lot of two sport.
Okay,
a lot of soccer and lacrosse kind of match.
Okay.
But in the winter, there's not as many that can play basketball or wrestle.
So winter, they start picking up a lacrosse stick and getting ready.
Yeah, we go all year round. I mean, they're practicing. I'm just not there with them because we're not allowed to do anything with them in the off-season coaching-wise. But the kids all play, and I got a great group of kids at Kingsville High School. They do it on their own. You don't have to tell them to do anything. They show up and do their own. They go work out. They get together, play catch together. It's a really nice, tight-knit group.
I never would have thought of Catonsville as a lacrosse community in my era, right? Like, you grew up, went to Randallstown, right?
Yes.
And I'm from Dundalk. You went to Catonsville.
Yeah.
My God, I mean, it's the three corners of the county. Like,
it
literally,
really is,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I was in your gym with the big ram, yep. right? I mean, I wrestled over there. Catonsville, I've been in many times when Jeff Moeller was shooting hoops and Dom was the principal down the street here.
Yeah.
Bloomsbury, Tom Kapp lived down the road here. So I spent time in Catonsville. Not time, like, we're talking about just, I want to reset. We're in Catonsville. We're at the Beaumont. I mean, the Beaumont, Franco, State Fair, Jennings, all these great places down here. I didn't think about it in those terms 30 years ago, so it's wonderful to be here in those terms. But I would say for sports, I was from a baseball neighborhood. We couldn't kick a soccer ball in my neighborhood. That was Highland Town. You had to go to Patterson Park to do that.
Yeah.
Lacrosse, I always tell the stories. One kid that had a lacrosse ball in Berkshire, and he'd throw it against the wall. I was kind of the kid beating a tennis ball against the wall. We didn't play tennis in the neighborhood. I did in Chuck Kilgore and three kids, we'd go and beat the tennis ball. Hockey in my neighborhood was big. Kids played roller hockey. Kids went up and ice skated up at Patterson. But lacrosse was something that didn't come to me in the way that soccer didn't come to me as a kid because I was a baseball neighborhood. We were baseball, football, basketball. We had a basketball net in the court that the biggest that we always shot hoops. We could do that 10 months a year. We weren't building snow forts. We played football down on the end. Right around now when the leaves changed, we played football through Thanksgiving, snow games, and then baseball the minute we weren't freezing. You know, basketball in the gym in the winter.
Yep.
But I can't imagine a childhood when I'm nine and they're like, you are a lacrosse child, pick up stick, play 11 and a half. Or you are a baseball pitcher and your arms touched by God like the kid down the street here, right? Like, and you're doing that 11 months a year. That's modern sports, right?
Sports have changed a lot. Sorry, Louis.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Well, you're hockey, right?
Right. I mean, look, the youth kids, I mean, the youth today, they're not just playing rec or school. They're playing club, and they're going to trainers that are helping them excel in their sports, get, you know, college scholarships, maybe eventually get a shot at the pros. I mean, it's just a different mindset than it was when we were kids. It's just not going in the backyard and playing anymore.
Yeah.
How many kids are getting scholarships?
Very few.
Okay, fair enough.
I was going to say, when you talked about that, a lot of parents will come up and say, oh, well, how do I get my kid a scholarship? And I look at them and I go get them a book and I say, have them read, because there's more academic scholarships than there are for lacrosse. Every college gets 12 scholarships, but there's 40 some kids on every team. So even the All-Metro Player of the Years get like a quarter of a scholarship. Or if they're really good, maybe
and every
half.
Kid has a dream of this in the seventh grade, and then the reality of grades, finding it, be excelling, being that good, and the sport itself has exploded. Yeah. I mean, exploded in a way when Gary Gate would come and sit with me at the barn 20 years ago, talking about Canada and box lacrosse and indoor, and I still don't understand the financial backbone of anything pro related. I mean, I've been waiting my whole life for that, but to see kids with sticks everywhere in this community. It's not just Long Island anymore and Syracuse and outskirts of Philadelphia, Denver. I mean, but Notre Dame, I don't need to tell you, but it's really an amazing, you're competing with the world if you have a lacrosse stick at Gilman right now. Right?
Yep, that's true. No, the lacrosse players come from all over, and they used to be Long Island and Baltimore, you know, 50 years ago, where the hotbeds, And it was sort of an elitist sport, and now it's not so much.
Dundalk plays it, is what you're saying. Well,
they probably got a squad out there. But the other thing that's really happened to the detriment is this club mentality. And, you know, my personal opinion is, I grew up and I played a different sport like you. Soccer, football, then basketball.
Rec.
Yeah, I did rec. Everything was rec. And then if you were good on rec, you would get invited to be on an all-star team for a special one tournament. But, you know, a lot of kids now do throw a baseball from the time they're 5 to they're 16, and their arms are torn up by the time they're 20 because it's a lot of stress. Fall ball, winter workouts, then the spring, then the summer tournaments. And it's all those sports. So I prefer all my guys in lacrosse to play other sports. Just give themselves a break, give themselves a condition, and you learn, and I think you develop better in the long run. But this is a psychological thing. It's parents who are so worried about making sure their kid is the best. And they're doing it with good intentions.
Right.
But it's overdoing it. It's just overdoing it for these kids. And that's why when they get to be like 12th grade or I don't feel like playing anymore. Well, I'd rather have a kid who wants to play when they're 25 than a kid who plays when they're 5.
My cousin was an excellent tennis player, right? She got a scholarship, went to Arizona. Yeah, the last thing in the world she would do right now is pick up a tennis racket. She learned to hate it.
She just learned to hate it.
By the time she's 30, she's like, I don't want to ever touch a racket again.
Yep.
Got her education and, you know, did all that Pac-10, but you can get burned out on that.
Yeah, and Lou mentions the arms of these kids. And, it was either Palmer or Ben McDonald the other night made a comment and said, you know, it's almost unusual to find a big league pitcher now that hasn't had Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
When you think about that, right.
Well, I'm not, of course, anywhere close to smart or medical, but when you go and you got these guys who are lifting weights and working from the time they're 5, 16, they're building muscle, but their tendons aren't getting any better. So when you put an extra 10 or 15 pounds on a thigh or a knee and they make a cut in football, you're putting
pressure. Like putting, you know, with the steroids, once you got older, it's doing that to your body with a drug later on, your forehead, you know, like all of the things that the Ken Caminiti, you know, like all those guys, you know.
It's always tendon issues, always tendon. So you can't make a tendon stronger. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you can. I don't know how you can do that, but you can get your muscles bigger. But that's putting so much more pressure on the tendons, and that's where I think they're just putting so much force, throwing football, or guys tearing their knees up all the time.
Right.
It's just too much.
I want to reset. Lou Weinkamp's here. Howard Scherer's here. He's with Duck Doctors. Lou runs
Duck
a little...
There we go.
He's got it going on, man. Howard's my life and friend. We're at the Beaumont. We have ordered crab cakes. I highly recommend... Susan was here getting a burger on the way in. I don't know what Billy's getting up at the bar. What'd you get up there? Crab cake. All right. See, Nick's put the crab cake up at the bar. Like, I'm going to take a break and like come up there and just hang out, man. We're gonna moo. We're gonna eat. We're at the Beaumont. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play with some Raven scratch offs. Make sure you get in on this early if you want to go on the Jacksonville trip. You have till October 15th, I believe. John Martin was on this week talking about that. Our friends at the Restaurant Association of Maryland. I just want to recap. Restaurant Week was last week. I think Brad's going to come on a little later on. We'll get some real restaurant folks on here as well as you. Did you do Restaurant Week last week?
You know, we did not.
You did not.
I'm
you
not
do
sure.
it next year. I'm going to make you do it.
We're in for next year.
Well, hundreds of places have done it. It's a place to show off. Last week, people got a deal. Come out, get a new... eat at a new place and do some new things. Our friends at Window Nation have hooked us up, 866-90-NATION and Goodwill. Lisa was on last week. It's Halloween season. By the way, Halloween, me and my family, you ready? Me, Barry, Aubrey, and Jen, we're going as 4 David Bowies. We're going to do
pretty
a Ziggy
funny.
And a Lad.
Right.
So we're going to,
that's cool.
4 David Bowies walk into a bar, right? Perfect, right?
And you'll be wearing your belt buckle.
Well, we're going to Goodwill to shop for all that because I got to get myself a red leotard if I'm going to be Lad Insane. Lad Insane, maybe for me. Window Nation as well with the new windows. One thing I'll say about the new windows, they go up and down so easy. They're so perfect. They're not 100 years old like our other ones. But more than that, they're keeping the bugs out. And I just want to say thank you to Window Nation. The new screens, the whole deal, it's been great. It's been, and now the bugs are going away, and I can open the whole thing, and the window's blowing in. It's fantastic. All right. Baseball, how many games this year for you, Lou?
I went to about 5.
Howard, don't lie to me.
2.
Okay.
I would have gone more, but life gets in the way.
I got offered tickets last Friday night. Great, incredible box seats, the whole deal. I was at Cooper's North. Friend came up, said, here's 6 box seats, parking. And I had to leave at 5:15 in Mays Chapel, go home. I hit my wife. It was a beautiful night. I mean, that was the night that was the two-hitter. It was like Kramer. It was a great game. And I just, we couldn't pull the trigger. And if we were downtown, we would have walked up for five innings, right? But we didn't, I didn't want to be mean, but I was doing trifecta the whole day Saturday. I'm 53. I knew trifecta was going to like roll me out. I knew the weather was going to be great at trifecta, and it was going to be a social day where I'm answering questions about my media pass all day long from everyone. I just didn't do it. So I didn't, no offense, I didn't go. You know, Luke went to 58 games or whatever. I didn't go.
I'm thinking about buying a small season ticket package next year. I mean, they're an exciting team, and it's just, but it's a commitment to go if you live in the suburbs, to go downtown, go park, go into the stadium, sit for the game, spend money, whatever, and then get home. Even if it's a 7 o'clock game and it's a normal, we'll say, three-hour game, you're still getting home at 11 o'clock and then work the next day. But I'm thinking I'm buying in next year.
Well, you're watching him 6 nights a week on TV.
If you ask Julie, it's 7 nights a
week. Okay, fair enough. And Lou, same for you?
I'll listen to the radio and catch him. But the thing this year, I enjoyed going to the games because they really were exciting, and I thought they had a like camaraderie, and you notice
yes.
They always come up and hug each other, and they're always supporting each other. And, you know, they have the chain. You know, we have a chain at Catonsville. It's a big C. I hand that out to my players. So we've had that for five years.
Do you
years.
Call
so
it the Comet?
I call it the Big C.
The Big C. Okay. The Big C.
So I get the Big C, and that now my kids know that now the Orioles are doing it, so maybe they'll think it's cool.
Right, they'll think it's cool.
Yeah, so anyway, I've been doing that for since 2016. But it really, the atmosphere reminds me of back, you guys remember, like, you know, the 70s. And the Orioles, like particularly 79, you know, they always would come through. They'd always make the play. They played smart baseball. They're never out of a game.
Overachieving.
They're
little
overachieving.
Could.
Right. They do all the small things right, and it makes a difference. You know, you very see them, rarely see them miss the cutoff guy or go to the wrong base or run. You know, they run themselves out of innings.
Well, I like for so Brandon Hyde after all this suffering and watching these press conferences. He's like, he could probably begin any press conference by saying, you guys know I don't have good enough players, right? Like, let's just start with that.
Right.
Like, you do know they're the Yankees and we're the Orioles, and like, you know, you see what we're doing here. You know, I'm batting Chris Davis, you know, to make ownership happy. By the way, that's a whole other. Anything you want to say as a lawyer about that?
Well, there was a big in the paper I just read. They set the trial date for that Angelos lawsuit.
Can I ask you, have you ever been party to anything where families fighting over either nothing or a piss pot full of money? I mean, like, you know, whatever's a lot of money's a lot of money, you know? I mean,
just happened 2 hours ago in my office. It's constantly.
Tell a story.
It's constantly.
Because, I mean, I've this Angelos thing for 30 years, I don't know these people. I sat down one night with Peter Angelos, and he was kind of a jerk, you know, and he kind of got enamored, and you can go listen to it for yourself, and he made all sorts of bizarre pronouncements that, you know, later a guy who would later run for president sort of kind of made an analogy. But billionaires do this. He's a lawyer. He's always right. The kids fighting with each other now. It's so unseemly, right? And how it's tied to how you would feel about going to the games and what you're going to get there, which is who's running the place. I come here at the Beaumont. I know Evan, Keith, on down, Brad, you know, Donnie. I know the people running the place, making the meal, having that cold crab cake. It's getting cold over there. We're going to bring it over here at some point. But when there's no confidence in leadership, right? And so that's a baseball thing. And then there's two kids are fighting over who gets $1.5 billion and who gets $1.4 billion. Like, it's unbelievable.
It's believable to me because I've had a stage where people fight over $5,000. And
or a
$5 million.
And,
or yes. And it goes back to you did me wrong when I was 9 years old, or my dad or mom favored you, or some kind of perceived slight, and it comes out in these things.
Or,
it just
or
comes
there's
out.
One ring.
Yep, right.
What are we going to do, cut it in half? Right?
Right.
Right?
It's, but I've been seeing this for 32 years, and whether it's billions or 10,000, it comes out in the States, and it's subjugated around money. But a lot of times it's not really about money.
And there's grief.
And there's grief. And there's just, it's just, a you know, anybody that's in it, it's always a shame. But I always, my dad had a great saying. He said, where there's a will, there's a relative.
Right.
So, you know, that was good.
There's two big things here is that, first of all, say what you want about Peter Angelos, think what you want. But this guy is still alive. And they're fighting over his money and his estate while he's doing whatever. We don't really know his medical condition. That's number one. Number two is that there's people like us that are sports fans. We're baseball fans. We love the Orioles. And they unfortunately might suffer because of this battle going on that has nothing to do with.
I famously, my parents, I was estranged from my real parents. You know, my real father died about 4 years ago. My real mother died about 7 or 8 years ago. I was at a Stones concert in San Diego when that happened, right after my wife survived. So, like, I can see getting sideways with relatives. I've been there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the notion that you're going to go toe-to-toe over $1 billion publicly after the whole thing's been an ish show for 30 years and you're trying to sort of clean up your family name. Say what you want about Jimmy Irsay, but all of that, he's gone out to Indianapolis and kept his I don't say nose clean, but in a way he is, and I know Jimmy, he's literally trying to make the world a better place in his way. In his way, whether it's singing songs with the REM guys, which was one of the highlights of my year this year, going up and being a part of that thing for mental health, which he's doing it for mental health. There is a part of leadership that you can turn the page the way the Chicago Blackhawks, Mr. Hockey guy here, right? I mean, famously, that guy was a creep. Kid takes over. They're winning Stanley Cups. And then, of course, later on becomes even a bigger creep. Looking the other way on something that, you know, the Bisciotti Ray Rice fiasco. It's kind of almost small potatoes compared to what was
Absolutely.
Going on out there.
Yes.
But there is another page, right? And for the Orioles, if that other page includes a new Mr. Big in 2024 and they give me my press pass back and treat everyone like we want your bar to have the game on.
Right.
You know, we want the stadium full. We are a community partner, which gets to the heart of me sideways with the Ravens. And that's an aside. Let's talk a little Ravens here. Howard, Lou, we're at the Beaumont. Billy Yerman's going to come up a little later on. We're going to have Brad on as well. We're going to have some fun today. And we're going to have a crab cake that's not going to be cold, I promise. Ravens and Lamar, where do you stand on contractually? And we talk about the excitement level of the game itself, but this is an unbelievable thing to see Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, outside sources, players saying, "Lamar, you should go get a real wife, a real husband, not what this is." That's kind of a weird spot for this franchise to have him dangling like this. He's the most electric player in the sport. He is the most talked about player in the sport, not just on Frederick Road. I'm talking about big picture. The next 15 weeks, I can book guests 5 deep every week, do a national conversation on the contract of Lamar Jackson. We're in the middle of something kind of special here in a different way than Ray or Cal Ripken or whatever, or Johnny U or any of that, or even Joe Flacco. This is an interesting story to get our arms around because it involves all the elements of football, including, I believe, race, quarterbacks, the NBA-ification of this, lawyers. For Lamar to say, "I'm going to play in Florida for tax purposes. Tampa's going to need a quarterback next year. I'm just going to keep my nose down, play. But I'm not playing for you all, so you can deal me in February or March."
Right.
And that's kind of – that's an option now that we've never heard of in Baltimore because we haven't had an NBA team and have Russell Westbrook walk out of here, LeBron James.
Correct.
Have a television show back going to Miami.
I think Lamar is a very special talent. Do I think that you can guarantee him the money and not mortgage the future of the franchise? That I don't know. That's above my head. But that is something that they have to figure out soon, or they are going to have to deal him. I don't think you let him play through all the franchise tags. And
I don't think he will. If he were my kid, he wouldn't be playing now.
Right. I
don't know about you. How do you feel about that, Lou?
Well, I think he's doing this to get a better deal for himself, which that's all fine.
You'd have him insured if he worked for you.
Well, he would definitely be insured for sure.
I mean, I hope he is personally.
I love Lamar. I think he's a tremendous competitor, a great athlete, and I've, you know, just super fan ever since his days in Louisville. And I love on the sidelines when he makes those sour faces after something bad happens because he puts it all on himself, and I love that about him. My only question for him or hard part is like if he gets X amount of dollars, let's say it's right now he's guaranteed 160. His upside would be 200 or 240, which is more money than anybody could possibly believe. But the 160 is a downside. You know, and that's what I would worry about for him is the downside. You know, if he got hurt and that now he can't get the 160, now he can only get 80. I just don't know what the upside, you know. That's the only thing I think about it.
I mean, I see that point of view. I mean, he's betting on himself to succeed and earn that money. And I do think that they're at a point now where you have to sign him early in the offseason or you have to deal him next offseason. I think one of the two.
No matter the outcome, right.
Right.
And he can still get hurt in week 10. because he runs in the linebackers, although he's not doing a whole lot of that. And I think he's gotten the Roger Dorn message of he's taking really good care of that very, very valuable piece of property that he has at this point. Yeah. And the best thing he can do is throw the ball better. And I think he realizes that. And the off seasons and the work he's done, you got to tip your cap. Dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I sat here and watched Ray Lewis do it. I sat here and watched John Ogden fight through it, and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs and all these, Joe Flacco, try to be that guy. You know, Dennis Pitt and Todd Heap, who could have been in the Hall of Fame if their bodies would have, you know, remained in that shape. Or even the Bowers and McCrarys, who could have gone to the Hall of Fame had they had longevity. This is about longevity for him. When he's talking about being Jay-Z and being a billionaire and, like, all of those things that a kid like that should dream about. He should dream of being Michael Jackson or being LeBron or being Prince or being Topic, because he's that talented, but he's got to stay healthy. And the only way he's going to stay healthy is not sliding into linebackers.
Agreed. And I think that it's so rare what we're seeing right now. We're seeing a guy at a skill position as a pro athlete improve by leaps and bounds from year to year. And that's him throwing the ball. I mean,
in a way that nobody thought he could.
Correct. I mean,
all
how many
evaluators looked at him and said, "Nah, running back."
I mean, think about how many pitchers have come along over the years in baseball, let's say, and you've seen them take they've always had the stuff. It's just refining it at the big league level. He's really reinvented himself as
Arrieta, right?
Right. Or Kurt Schilling. The first one that came to my mind.
You know, guys that were underachieving at one point, and then Greg Maddux. I mean, he turned the key and found location.
I don't know if Lamar was underachieving or just hadn't refined his skills, and he's really refined them at the pro level when those guys, you could probably argue, were underachieving.
Well, when you're the fastest guy on the field, how much better do you have to be if nobody can catch you to begin with?
Correct.
Right? Literally. Yeah.
He's unbelievable talent. And I think that for Lamar, I would love him to stay a Raven, but I would be excited for him if he got 250, if he was on Tampa Bay, because he's just worked hard.
Yeah.
He's really worked hard, and all the athletes deserve that. And I like the power to the players has been...
Well, the power to player for him is if he wants to play somewhere else right now, this is the opportunity. And that should frighten people around here. But, like, you know, we talk about baseball. We lost Machado because they screwed it all up because it's poorly run. I mean, you know, if it was better run... And look at the Red Sox right now. I spent last week talking to Bob Ryan and Dan Shaughnessy and those guys. Like, it's a mess because it's not being run properly, right?
Right.
Well, I'm in a place that is being run properly. The Beaumont and Catonsville. Also, you know one thing? They don't have Beaumont shirts. So I'm wearing the State Fair shirt. I have the El Guapo shirt. I need to get a new one, a freshie. I'm starting to wear through these. They're starting to get cracked a little bit pre-pandemic. Lou Weinkamp's our guest, the Howard Chair. Howard runs Duck Doctor Baltimore. Make sure you're checking them out. Get your duck suck. Don't have dirty air. Lou is...
He's going to be my new marketing manager.
He's your hype
man. He's my hype man, right.
Lou's doing hype. Lou, tell everybody how to find you with and the tough talk that often people have to treat you like a priest or a rabbi or someone sacred.
Yeah, our website is www.weinkam, weinkam.com, and the phone number is 410-744-3256. So you can call there and get a hold of me anytime.
Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Scratchy offie for you.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Wow. Scratchy offie for you. Billy Yerman's over there right now eating a crab cake, waiting. He's the only one going to be fed on the program. I'm going to sit here and eat and let Billy talk about Bruce Springsteen. Also brought to you by the Restaurant Association of Maryland. Restaurant Week was last week, but I'm going to bring Marshall back on the program one of these Fridays as well. Our friends at Goodwill remind you it is Halloween season. If you're going to dress up as Aladdin Sane or Ziggy Stardust, make sure you're getting out to Goodwill. Jen and I dropped off. We filled the entire car, soup to nuts, brim, and we thought it was two trips, but we shoved everything in there, and we dropped a whole bunch of stuff off at Goodwill last week. With donation as well, 86690Nation. I invited Eric out today. I invited a whole bunch of people out today, but only my real friend showed up. Howard's been my friend since 1984. Lou's out here in Catonsville. Billy Yerman's coming up next. Brad, who I've known from the prime rib all the way back here to the Beaumont. We're at the Beaumont in Catonsville eating crab cakes, eating cheeseburgers, as well as the... You ever had the chicken fried lobster tail here?
That is a big hit here.
It is. It's great.
Yep.
Look at both of you. Just like, yeah.
I thought about it when I looked at the menu.
Yerman, did you look at the chicken fried lobster? Yeah, we'll get that on the... Yeah. We'll split it. Oh, next segment. So, I woke up this morning and Jen's like, "How's day going?" I'm like, "Well, I'm going out to Beaumont." She's like, "Who's your guest?" And I'm like, "I have no idea who's going to." I mean, it may just be me monologuing like Howard Beale sitting in the window here, like Harbaugh after a West Coast game. And instead, you know, it just turns out I'm going to be talking about Springsteen, the United States of America, Canada, my tour of Quebec and Ottawa with Pearl Jam, and eating chicken fried lobster with one of my favorite people, Bill Yerman.
It's a good day.
Good day, man.
Good day.
When Jen finds, you know what? I'm going to take a picture right now before I even take a break of who showed up, because Jen was really worried that I didn't really have any friends. So I, you know, if I get all of you in the wave, she'll say, turned out to be a good day. It's Baltimore Positive. We're in Catonsville. We're rolling on. Back for more in the 212-228, where life is great right after this.